الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue. There's a furtherance of the discussion that happened yesterday regarding Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala and whose narration of the description of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, both in the Quran and in the books from before. So the Musannif of the book, Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Kandelwi rahimahullah ta'ala, he gives the takhrij of the hadith. قال وأخرج البخاري نحوه عن عبد الله. Imam Bukhari, he narrates a similar hadith to the one that was narrated yesterday from Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, it's not only just a hadith, again, like we mentioned last night, not just a hadith that he narrates, but it's actually an entire bab. It's an entire chapter of Bukhari. Bab, it's a chapter regarding karahatu sakhbi fil aswaq, the chapter regarding the dislikedness or the hatefulness of walking around yelling at people. And so it's actually the only hadith in that chapter of Bukhari. والبيهقي عن ابن سلام. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a rabbi of the Yahud in the time of Jahiliyyah. It's also a similar description, like we said, it's taken from Isaiah. It was narrated from him, who was a Jalil al-Qadr, Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was shaheed defending the person of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu when they were attacking him. They killed him as well. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with all of them. وفي روايةٍ حتى يقيم به الملة العوجاء. And there's a narration that has a slightly different wording, meaning it has the word bihi between yuqima and al-milla. And he continues, wa akhrajahu ibnu ishaq an ka'b al-ahbari bima'nahu. So ka'b al-ahbar was a great rabbi of the Jews who accepted Islam, and he's from amongst the tabi'een. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to hold him in high regard, and he actually took him with him. He met with him, I should say, in the Masjid al-Aqsa and put him in charge of the rebuilding of the Masjid al-Aqsa and the cleaning up of it. And he actually asked him a question. He said, where should we build the masjid? Should we build it between where the, or you know, where on the premises of the Haram Sharif should we build it? And so he gave the suggestion that they build the masjid between where the holiest of holies, the altar of the old temple, was and the Qibla, so that you can face both of them at the same time. And so Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, yeah, you have some sympathy for your old religion. That's why you want the two Qiblas to line up. And so that's why he made the command that the masjid be built in front of it, between it and the Qibla. So you give your back to the old Qibla and you face the Masjid al-Haram. And to this day, it's actually very interesting. The Masjid al-Aqsa, people believe it's the Qubbat al-Sakhra. It's the masjid is in front of it. And the Qubbat al-Sakhra, the place where the old altar of the Masjid of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam was, that's where the ladies, they pray their Jumu'ah and things like that. And it's also still a very sacred place. But this is who Ka'b al-Ahbar is. He narrates the same hadith of the same meaning. وأخرجه البيهقي عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها مختصراً. That it's narrated in abridged form without so many details by Sayyidah Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنه. وذكر وهب بن منبه. وهب بن منبه is a muhaddith who is from Yemen and a Jalil al-Qadr alim from amongst the Tabi'een رضي الله تعالى عنهم. He narrates directly from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was considered to be a person who is very advanced in his knowledge of history. And he claimed that he read over 75 books of wahi before the Qur'an. Allahu alam. Obviously, we don't consider those books to be perfect and intact, but they still exist. What does over 75 books of wahi mean? Probably what my understanding is, that what the Hebrew Bible is, what the Jews call the Bible, the Torah is a very small part of it, actually. It's the first part. The Hebrew Bible, they call it the Tanakh. The Ta, it's what you call an acronym. The Ta is for the Torah, the Nun is for the Nevi'im, which is the books of the different Anbiya, and then the Kha is for something else. I don't remember what it is. But at any rate, it says number of books, so perhaps he counted all of those books separately, and that's how he reached that number. But he was a historian, he knew about the ummah that went before, and so he would tie in things from different ummahs in the past into Islam as well. And he was very respected amongst the tabi'een. So he narrates, أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَىٰ دَاوُدَ فِي الزَّبُورِ, that there's a place in the Zabur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the wahi to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. Ya Dawoodu, innahu sayati min ba'dika nabiyun ismuhu Ahmadu wa Muhammadun. Right? O Dawood, there will be a Nabi that comes after you. His name will be Ahmad and Muhammad. Right? It's very interesting because people think like, well, what is this? He's just making this up. If this was there in the Bible, you know, they would have all become Muslim a long time ago. Guess what? It's actually there in the Zabur. It's in the Psalms. The word Muhammad is actually there, right? It's actually there, and it's in the plural, Muhammadim, right? It's in the plural. Why? Because the Hebrew speaking people are ajim, like, you know, Pakistanis and Indians are, right? So they're not straight shooters. They embellish things, right? So one of the things in Ajami languages they use as a sign of respect is to refer to someone in the plural as a sign of respect for them, right? And so they actually has the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Psalms. And this is probably what Sayyidina Wahab bin Munabbih is referring to. The ismuhu Ahmadu wa Muhammadun sadiqan sayyidan la aghdabu alayhi abadan wa la yughdibani abadan wa qad ghafartu lahu qabla an ya'siyani ma taqaddama min dhanbihi wa ma ta'akhara wa ummatuhu marhumatun أعطيتهم من النوافل مثل ما أعطيت الأنبياء وفرضت عليهم الفرائض التي افترضت على الأنبياء والرسل حتى يأتوني يوم القيامة نورهم مثل نور الأنبياء إلى أن قال يا داود إني فضلت محمدا وأمته على الأمم كلها. And so this is the hikaya of Wahb bin Munabbih about the Psalms, and it's narrated by Ibn Kathir in his Bidayah al-Nihaya. It's a world history that he wrote in just a whole, probably like somewhere close to 15 and 20 volumes. And it's also narrated by Imam Bayhaqi in his Dalail al-Nabuwah. And basically the meaning of it is what? Dawood, indeed there will come after you a Nabi, his name is Ahmad, meaning he's the most praised one, and his name is Muhammad. And he will be a truthful one, and he will be a leader. I will never be angry with him, and he will never make me angry. And I have forgiven for him whatever he may disobey, and whatever comes forth from his sins before they happen, what comes forth and what comes after. Now obviously we believe that the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are ma'asum. Whenever the mention of the sins of a Nabi are made, what it is like things like if you know he didn't read a nafl or something like that he usually reads. It's not really a sin, but it's something that for their maqam, it doesn't seem seemly perhaps. Even those things I forgave for him before he even did them. And his ummah is a ummah that will be, that mercy will be had on them. I gave them the nawafil like the nawafil I gave to the anbiya. So don't brush off the nawafil, the two raka'as after maghrib and the salatul taraweeh and fasting on Mondays and Thursdays and all of these things. There's a very high nisbah to these things. It's an honor that Allah Ta'ala gave them to this ummah. I gave to them the nawafil that I gave to the anbiya. And I made obligatory upon them the obligations that I made on the anbiya and the rusul, the prophets and the messengers. And I kept doing those things until they will come to me on the day of judgment. The nur that they will carry, the light that they will carry with them, will be like the light of the prophets. And it's a long tract, and so he skips to the end and says, oh, and at the end of that tract, he says, O Dawood, I have preferred Muhammad and his ummah over all ever other ummas and over all other nations. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the shukr that we owe, that he gave us the privilege of being in the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also give us the good sense to be able to take advantage of those things that he gave to us instead of leaving them by and spending our life in other things, heedless of those advantages, and may He also give us the tawfiq of also carrying the responsibility that comes with that. And this has a direct tie with the finality of prophethood, with the khatm al-nubuwa, the idea of it, that the a'mal that used to be given to the anbiya are given to this ummah except for wahi. No one in this ummah receives wahi. Other a'mal from the a'mal of nubuwa are given to this ummah. There is a fiqh class in the SoundCloud account. If you go to soundcloud.com/Rockford Muslim, there's all these talks are being recorded and posted. If you can listen to the fiqh class regarding Khatm al-Nubuwah, many people were there, so they already heard it. For those who weren't there, if you can listen to that, there's a lot that directly relates to this. One last thing, even though I know I went over, people might say, well, you know, Wahb bin Munabbih narrating something in the Injil, what does it matter to me? It's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a sahih hadith. Hadith an Bani Israel wa la haraj. Right? Say the things that the Bani Israel, their stories, if there's a benefit for you in them, in mentioning them, go ahead and mention them, and there's no haraj. There's no nothing wrong with that. And the rule is, the sharh of this hadith, the explanation of this hadith is, what they narrate, that's in line with our scripture. It's wajib to believe in it because it's also in our scripture. What they narrate that conflicts with our scripture, it's wajib to disbelieve in it. That much is common sense. What's in the middle, if telling these stories gives someone benefit in their iman, then it's good, go ahead and narrate them. If somebody hears them and doesn't agree with what's in it, we also don't browbeat them about that. There's khair as well. And so there's a lot more discussion regarding that, but we went over time so much. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى رَسُولِهِ سَيِّدَنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْمَعِينَ